Dying is a very popular mizmor, and it's said by funerals. Yeah. Usually we have here, Nachum Sperling. He's a specialist. That's a tremendous schus. It's a tremendous schus we do. It's not to be believed. It's unbelievable, really, in so many different ways. So I'm assuming that you say that you every Levaya begins with Michal Levit. Is that how you do it? What? What's the other one mean? Chavgimel. What's Chavgimel? Mizmor Ledavid. Hashem Roi Leyatsa. Right, okay. Or Michal Ledavid. Okay. So usually it's very, very common. You go to a funeral, they begin with Mizmor Ledavid. Michtam Ledavid. Yeah? Why is Michtam Ledavid? So we have to search and discover what is it about this Mizmor that relates to a Levi. Basically, we're going to see it's a very mystical mizmor, and obviously there are many different ways to interpret the mizmor. Who are we referring to? What is the subject? What is the message? But there's a major theme among many of the commentators that we are, David is talking to his neshama. David is talking to the soul, to the neshama. And obviously at a Levi, when the person is passed away and his neshama now is in transit from this world to the next world, it's a very appropriate thing to recite words of Tehillim that relate very much to the neshama. And that we're going to see in some detail as we go through the mizmor. Okay, the very big mystery about Michtam Dov is that we're going to discuss right now. Michtam, so there are two basic perushim, probably a lot more, and it means a musical instrument, or it means, okay, that's one interpretation which we'll discuss. Michtam, the Radak spoke about this at length in the very beginning in Mizmor Dalid. Mizmor Dalid, the Radak, he just listed off many, many Mizmorim and their beginnings, the expression, and the Radak said each of these expressions in the beginning of many of these Mizmorim refers to a specific type of musical instrument. The Shminis, here is a Michtam. I don't remember, we'll go back to Mizmor Dalid. We'll just go back very quickly, let's just rattle off there. He rattles off, there's so many different types of musical instruments in Mizmor, in the beginning of Mizmor Dalid. Let's see. Okay. It's on page 31.
The only one is Ibn Ezra that explains it.
Okay, well, Rashi also says it. Rashi alludes to it. Rashi alludes to it. Yeah, Rashi has many perushim. Okay, he took the basis by Nevalim, a navel, a kinar, called the Neginois. There are many different types of musical instruments. One of the musical instruments in this over here is called the Michtam. The Michtam is the Gittis. So the Michtam, according to one interpretation, means a musical instrument. According to the Metzudas David here, Michtam, Miloshim Kesem, gold. Okay, the word Michtam comes from the word Kesem. Kesem. Okay, obviously the vowels are completely different. It throws you off. And this is which means this Mizmar David treasured. Gold. There are seven types of gold. And one of the seven types of gold is this called kesem. It's a something which is very precious. The zahav hatoiv. So therefore, the David over here at the very outset is saying that this mizmor to me has a special place in my heart. There is something very special about this mizmor that I dwell upon, I focus upon, and that's why this is a michtam l'David, a treasured psalm of David. It's treasured, it's special, it's unique. You know, I guess when a person passes away, you want to go and show the uniqueness of the neshama. And just like David, in this mizmor he discusses the neshama, is also a message of preciousness, when something is very dear and special to you. Okay, so that's right, the second interpretation. Then there's more of the midrashic approach. The midrashic approach takes the word michtam and breaks it into two. Moch tam. Moch means to be smitten, to be hit. Tam means tamimus, completion. Where do you have a principle where you have someone that's been smitten, and through him being smitten, he achieves tenimus, bris milah. Bris milah, you're injuring the child. You're damaging the child. You're going through a medical procedure. You're causing the child pain. You're being moch. You're hitting the child. But yet through this procedure of bris milah, of moch, the child now becomes a tan. He becomes hesalich lefonai veyei samim. Hashem said to Aaron Avinu, I want you to be tamim. Go before me in the ways of bris milah. You will be complete. Tam.
And we said also by Marcus, after he gets his punishment, he's back to being...
By who?
Anyone that gets
punished by Hashem, gets smitten, therefore that's the kapara. So, so far we have already at least three perushim, maybe we'll have more, and we'll go through some more in a moment. Just the basic idea is, nechtam either means a treasure, it's gold, this is precious. What we're going to read now is something that is precious, David, or it means this was composed with the intent that it should be recited with a very specific musical instrument, which we have no idea what this musical instrument is, whether it's a wind instrument, whether it's a string instrument, whether it's a a drum instrument, whatever
percussion,
all these different types. It's a musical instrument, or it means nichtam leDavid. It means that David over here, there's an allusion to bris milah or to a maka, a moch. Moch means, moch memchof alludes to the word maka. We'll see, maybe we'll see with Mefarsh, we'll see him with more precision. It could allude to the composite of two words, moch and tam. And how we're going to interpret that will depend upon the Mefarsh. Okay, so right now, let's just begin. Let's run through it first with the Mitzudas. Then with Rashi, and then we'll go discuss a couple of selected Mefarshim. There's some very beautiful, there's a lot of material on this Mizmar, a lot of beautiful things. It's not all that big. We'll try to go run through it first quickly through the Mitzvah David now. So Nichtam LeDavid. This is a special Mizmar, a treasured Mizmar, it's like fine gold, or it's meant to be played on a musical instrument. And what does David say? Shamrei Nikel. David here is praying. He's saying to Hashem, please guard me, because I seek refuge in you. Obviously for a niftar, at the time of a funeral, when the neshama leaves the body, we don't really know what goes on. Okay, no one ever came back to tell us exactly what it's like, but we have to understand that the neshama is vulnerable. When the neshama leaves the body, our tradition, our emunah is that when a person passes away, his neshama, again, we have really no idea what we're saying over here, but the neshama hovers over the body. The neshama hovers over the body until burial. And when the body is buried, at that time, the body, the neshama, is then escorted to Gan Eden. They're escorted to that Gan Eden. We don't know what these things are. They're escorted to the other world. And there, there's a din. There, there's judgment. And the judgment goes on for 1 year. You thought that in New York it's hard to go to get a date with the judge for a parking ticket? Okay, in Shemayim, it's a process, a 1 year process where the neshama goes through din, and there is, we don't know what this means, there's gehenin, there is reflection, there is pain, there is suffering, who knows what this means. And then after 1 year, the neshama goes to its permanent place of resting in Shemayim, whatever that means. And the neshama every year goes higher and higher. There's a story, I can't vouch for the authenticity of the story, but I heard from a very big Talmud Chacham, my Rebbe, he was a Rebbe, he wants to give a yahrzeit seudah for a young person who died. He said the story, I can't tell you true or not true, that the Chofetz Chaim's daughter, every year, she claimed that her father, the Chofetz Chaim, came to her in a dream to visit her, and to say hello to her. I cannot vouch you for the authenticity. And the Chofetz Chaim came to visit his daughter in a dream once a year. And every year, the image that she had of the Chofetz Chaim during this yearly visit was less and less clear. Every year was less and more blurry. Until many, many years later, she could barely make it out. So in her dream, she asked her father, why is it every year when you come, it's less and less clear. When you came in the very beginning, I saw you. Now it's hard to see you. So he said that the neshama every year goes higher and higher. And when you see me every year, when I come to visit you, you're looking at me from a greater distance. Because the neshama ascends. And that's why it's blurry. Because you're looking at me from a greater distance.
You need 5G.
You need whatever. You need warp speed to get here. Okay, so listen. What this means, is it a true story? Is it not a true story? I can't tell you, but this is what they say.
That's
what
it's a story.
That's true. What? Right. The neshama should have an aliyah. How does the neshama have an aliyah? So Chazal say the neshama has only through the koyach of Torah. Mitzvahs, this is what it says, what it means we don't really know, but mitzvahs, there's a limit. When a person is mekayim mitzvah, he earns a portion in the next world. But that's it. You earn something and it doesn't change. However, when a person studies Torah provides you like an automobile. It provides you with mobility. It gives you the ability to yelchu mechayil el chayil, to go higher and higher and higher. The more person learns Torah, the more he has the ability in the other world to travel, to go further and further. And for the person, Rahman al-Islam, does not have much Torah knowledge. He's limited in how far, in where he goes, if he can ascend higher and higher. So that is the ma'ala of Torah over mitzvahs. Obviously, you need mitzvahs also, goes without saying, the purpose of learning Torah is lasuke shmeitza liba dehilchasa. The purpose of learning is to mekayim the mitzvahs, but each one provides a unique benefit. Mitzvahs provide whatever it provides, I don't know, and Torah provides mobility. The malachi hasharis are very, very jealous of human beings, extremely jealous, because malachi hasharis have no mobility. Malachi hasharis are created, and they're put in their position, and they have no career opportunities to ascend. The chayus hakodesh, whatever they may be, they're locked in. They'll never become oifanim. And the oifanim will never become chayus. And I don't know, all these mystical different types of creatures. There are many, many different types of malachim creatures. Some of them have free will. Some do not. Some are higher, some are lower. Some are assigned to very specific missions. Some have more mobility. But one thing is certain, a malach is locked in. He's limited. There is limited mobility. Human beings, neshamas that arrive from this world to come into the next world, if they come prepared, they have mobility. And this is a source of contention, a source of jealousy in Shemayim between the malachim.
Have emotions?
Seems so. It seems so. I mean, it depends. We don't know anything. No one came back to tell us. But this is what it says. The malachim are. That's why in the nusach tefillah, some of the very esoteric parts of davening are said either in Aramaic, like kaddish, yiskadal v'yiskadash me'rabot in Aramaic. Now those two words, yiskadel tzibu, but part of kaddish is in Aramaic. And baruch shem kivoy malchuso, we say it in undertone, because the malachi hasharis, when they hear what we're doing, they get very jealous. So it says. They get jealous and they complain. They complain that we're not deserving of all the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers upon us. What's the root of their jealousy? What is their root? The root of their jealousy is primarily that we have mobility. Through our behavior, through our mitzvah, through Torah, the neshama creates tools which in the next world is able to advance. And in this, and they have no ability to advance. Okay, so whatever, this is all esoteric stuff, but over here, we're praying for the neshama. We're begging Hashem, the neshama over here, again, this is what it says, this is what the Chazal say, the neshama, after it leaves the body, it hovers over the body, whatever this means, I'm just saying words, it hovers over the body, and the neshama at this point in time is vulnerable. It's vulnerable, there are things that we are not aware of, there are malachi chavala. Who knows what all of these things means? The neshama at this point in time, until it's taken to its permanent makom benucha, it gets acquainted with its new surrounding, its new environment. It's vulnerable, and it needs shelter. And we, at a funeral, we are speaking on behalf of the neshama. We're saying, we are basically saying the words of the neshama. Hashem, I'm scared. The neshama, at this point in time, between death and burial, it's nishtahi nishtaher. The neshama is at a state of loss. It's a limbo. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't know what's going on. Where am I going? What's happening over here? And the neshama, Chazal says, supposedly it sees everything that's going on. And they say it's fascinated. The neshama is fascinated how what's being done to the body. The tahara and hespedim. It hears the hespedim. It witnesses the tahara. It witnesses the levaya. It witnesses everything. That's why Chazal says you should be very, very careful how you behave at a levaya. Be very, very careful because the neshama sees it all. It sees, in fact, there are many people that the Hasidim especially, they go to the mikveh before they go to a levaya. Because if you go to the mikveh, I think all of this is esoteric, spooky stuff. If you go to the mikveh, it cleanses the body, at least to the degree where the neshama doesn't know all of the person's averus. It's like the neshama has x-ray vision. You don't want the neshama to go to Shemayim and give a report to your great-grandparents. Oh, by my levi, I saw your great-grandson there, and I know he's an oisvar. he's not doing too good. So you don't want the neshama to give a bad report. So you behave yourself. You behave yourself very, very carefully. Go to the mikvah. It somehow creates a protection that the neshama can't see too much about. That's what it says in these books. I don't know all this type of spooky stuff, but there are a lot of people that believe in this stuff. And they, you know, and I mean, I'm not from those people because I'm not this world. But if in Kabbalah he nekada, if this is what we're supposed to believe, if this is the Mesorah, the tradition, then we have to be very, very careful. And it's true. You go to a levaya, you have to behave very well. A mace is there. The neshama is hovering over the body. The neshama sees everything. It's Chazal said that's the time to ask mechila. The neshama, and maybe at some point in its existence when it goes to Shemayim, it can help you. It can be mispalo for you. And if you want to make a good last impression, you only have one chance to make a last impression. Right? You know, only one chance to make a first impression. You only have one chance to make a last impression. It's called the Kovoid Acharon. But the neshama is frightened because the neshama doesn't know what's coming. And therefore, we are the mouthpiece for the neshama. And we say for the neshama, we say to Hashem, basically we're speaking for the neshama, Shomreini Kel, guard me. Guard me from the unknown, from the vulnerabilities, from the malachi chavola that are surrounding me. Why? Ki chasi sivak, because it is only in you, Hashem, that I seek refuge. Powerful pasuk for the neshama. Let's see the mitzvah David. But there is no mitzvah David. The only thing we have over here is the mitzvah siyon. We have over here the.
Says to me that if he writes a letter to
HaKadosh Baruch
Hu,
it's a michtav. It's not a beis, it's a mem. It's a letter, okay. But look at the mitzudah siyon, michtav, miloshen kesem, gold. What is kesem? Who has zav hatoiv? Uritzen al oimar, shahoya hamizma hazeh chaviv lefonel ki kesem, that this mizma was precious to David like gold. Okay, that's all he says. Next, pasuk beis. Now, this is a little bit tricky to say these words. Omart laHashem, Hashem ota. You say Hashem's name twice. Okay, a little bit tricky. It's not Hashem Elokim. It's Omart laHashem. It's not Elokim. It's Hashem. Aleph Aleph Nun Yud is you pronounce Hashem's name twice. And what does this mean? Let's see. Let's read Tevasi Baal Alech. This is very hard. This pasuk is very hard. Let's read the next pasuk as well. Likidoshim. Asher ba'aretz heima va'adirei kol cheftziva. Okay, these two psukim really have to be read together with regard to the holy ones that are in the earth, to them, and to the mighty ones are all my desires. No one has an easy time translating these two psukim. It's very worthy. We say this by a funeral. We should really appreciate what these words mean. There are many, many perushim as to what this means. We're just going to learn right now the mitzudais, which is pretty standard for most of the mafarshim. The Malbim has a very, very different approach to this. We'll see that at some point. But let's look at the mitzudais of it. Amart. Got to add a lot of words into the pasuk to make sense out of the pasuk. Ator nafshi. Amart al Hashem. David is giving a command to his neshama. In other words, we're separating a person here, is separating himself from his neshama. How does that work? Isn't the neshama yourself? You're talking to yourself. In this pasuk, it's a very fascinating revelation of how all of these things work. We know that a neshama has, I mean, there are many different approaches to this. I always, just, for some reason, come back to Rabbi Kahn Shul, of Aaron Kahn Shul. They have by the Amud, 5 candles, and on each one of them, I never saw this in any other shul, on the 5, by the Amud, we daven for the Amud, there are 5, here they have 6, right here they have 6, he has 5, and they light
real
them,
candles.
Real candles, they light them for every tila, and on each one of the candles it says, there's a little plaque, and it says, Neshama, Nefesh, Yedida, I don't remember, I never could remember this, there are 5 different words. Nefesh, Neshama, Yechida, Yedida, I don't know. 5 different words. Each one of those words refers to an element of the Neshama. The Neshama in this approach, this is not everyone agrees to this, but not by far, but every person's Neshama has 5 different components. They're completely different. And they all operate together. But today with technology, you can get a much better appreciation of this. Something called mesh Wi-Fi. Amazon, they're very big. Amazon, they're a very successful product. Today, everything is Wi-Fi. How does Wi-Fi work? So you know, you have a router. Okay, over here on this table, over here, there's a router. There's a little blue thing over here which connects to the internet, and it spreads it in the air, in the avir. Now, what happens if you're in the next room? Doesn't work. The signal is not strong enough. So what do? So you have there's a lot of different technology how to distribute the Wi-Fi equally throughout the house. I don't remember, it's very sophisticated. There are new products that are called mesh technology. It's very, it's fascinating. Basically what it does is it all of the different units, you put these units all throughout the house, and it creates an even distribution of the signal. And each one of these devices communicates with the other devices. It's not like, oh, there's one big, like the old-fashioned way is there's one device, and it spreads it to the entire house. That's not good for many reasons, because wherever the device is, that's where it's a strong signal, and wherever the other device, and the rest of the house, it's a weak signal. Also, if you're in the room with a very strong signal, it's not necessarily so healthy. Then you should be exposed to the radiation. This way, if you have 5 of these devices spread out through the entire house, number one, you have an equal distribution. Number two, somehow through this technology, you reduce the radiation. The radiation is reduced, so it's not dangerous to be in one room than in another room. It's incredible, it's a very sophisticated, but what is the chiddush? The chiddush, each one of these devices communicates with the other device. And it's the same thing with the neshama. The neshama has, according to this approach, it's only one of many approaches, the neshama has many, each person's neshama has many components. And they're all over the place. What does it mean they're all over the place? It could be that part of a person's neshama is in Shemayim right now. And that's why certain people, sometimes you get these sensations. Everyone has this certain sensation that something's going on. And then the next day you find out that exactly when you had that sensation, something very good happened. Or Rahman al-Islam, something not so good happened. And then, okay, and these the different components, and we don't know how this works. This is a very big topic of discussion in Chazal. What where does the neshama reside? Does it reside in the heart, or does it reside in the brain? And this becomes relevant when it comes to brain death. Okay, the person's head is completely not functioning. According to the science, there is absolutely no life in the brain. Stem cell, even in the stem, there's no life, but the heart is beating. Why is the heart beating? What's pshat? Why is the heart still beating if the brain is completely, there's zero activity? Okay, so scientifically, they'll probably have, how does halacha view this situation? The Gemara talks about chopping off the head of a lizard. If you chop off its head, its tail is still rattling. It's still shaking. But in the very same mission that talks about chopping off, it doesn't say that about a person. By a person, it says the person has done his niguyot. He's been stabbed. It's back to back. The halta'ah of a lizard versus a human being who has been stabbed. What does the Gemara say if a person has been decapitated and his body is still moving? It's interesting. The Gemara doesn't talk. So you can araya this like this. You can go back and forth the whole day with this type of stuff. Halacha lemaisa, the different opinions. What is the halacha when it comes to brain death? But there are many people who go come along and they say, we do know from Chazal that there are many components to a neshama. And who's not to say that there's one element of the neshama that's in the brain, and there's another component of the neshama that is in the heart? If we know there are five parts to the neshama, and the five parts are in different locations, they all communicate with one another. And we all sort of get a sense that we're in control, our minds are in control, but the truth is we have sensations that we understand are coming from other places, bad feelings, good feelings, a person is with mazel. Obviously the neshama, how come some people have mazel? They're very successful. Whatever they do, whatever they touch, just some people, no matter what they do, they have no success. Well, the neshama is not just here. You're the person, the neshama has many parts. There's the neshama in the brain, there's the neshama in the heart, and then there's the neshama in Shemayim somewhere. That they're all interlinked. And maybe where the neshama, that component of the person, that part in Shemayim, is sitting in a palace, in a very good place. And the male, that's why this person over here in this world, whatever he does, he's successful, because these are components that are all interlinked. We don't see how all of this works. In this pasuk, you get a little bit of a taste of this. Because in this pasuk, David HaMelech, over here, he's speaking, and he is addressing another component of his neshama. According to the Mitzvot, according to many of the Mefarshim. Here I am, make believe we have five parts, like Rabbi Kanshu, we have five parts of the neshama. David over here is saying, David now is separating one of those components from another, and he is speaking to the other components. Component, we'll call them by numbers, this is component 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Component number 1 is addressing 2, 3, 4, 5. And he's saying, you, 2, 3, 4, 5, I command you to thank Hashem. I give you that command. Look at the Mitzvot. Amart, ata, you, nafshi, I command. Those are extra words. Those are words that have been embellished. Amart, I give you a command. I command you, al Hashem, shehu adoin hakol, you shall speak about Hashem, regarding Hashem, who is the master. Kel means, well, okay, Hashem, let's say Hashem is the master. I'm commanding you regarding Hashem, who is the master. And it is a fact that you are humbled before him to make the following statement, to say the following words. Toivasi hatoiva sha'ato isali eina mutol olecha. You have no obligation to do all of this good. Ki akol b'chesed. Everything that you have done is with kindness. We have to read the two things must be read together. Pasuk Gimel. Likdoshim. Hikani oid. Lo ha'anoshim. And here's where the Mitzvah stuff is going off on its own in a very unique interpretation. Humble yourself before man, before the people on this world, the holy people on this world, the tzaddikim on this world, hakidoshim asher heim baretz, uleho adirim, those that are mighty in what? In biyiras Hashem, ki kol chefzi boholi, all of the good things that I have in this world have only come to me because of them, because of their merit. Ba'ali bizchusa. Now let's go back and read the pasuk again. It's a very hard pasuk and very powerful, very deep. Pasuk Beis begins, Omart la Hashem, Hashem ata. I am commanding you, my neshama, to say as follows. Omart, you, my neshama, shall say as follows, Hashem ata. Hashem, God, you are my master. You are my master, and I humble myself before you. And I want to acknowledge, Toivasi Balalech, I hereby acknowledge that all of the kindness that you have bestowed upon me, I do not deserve. I do not deserve. You had no obligation, you have had no obligation to bestow upon me the blessing that I have received in this world. Where do I, why then did I get all this blessing? It's only in the merit of the people in my company. It's only because of the tzaddikim in this world, the Yarei Shamayim who serve you, and when they serve Hashem in this world, Hashem bestows upon them blessing, and the blessing trickles down. It expands to all of mankind, to all the people. And I was Zocha, Likidoy Shem. It's only because of the tzaddikim that exist in this world, Asher Boretz, Heimodei, Va'adirei, and the Yarei Shamayim, the Kidoy Shem, again, he translates as the holy people. Doesn't really say the holy, there's some poetic repetition here. The holy people and the Adirei are the Yirei Shamayim, the mighty people. You have Arzei HaLavanan, Adirei HaTorah. Okay, the people who are Yirei Shamayim, it's only because of them, Kol Chefzi, all of my desires, my success, my satisfaction in my life, Bom has come through them. Think about it, by a funeral, when you say these words by a funeral, what does it mean? It means, I mean, now it's over. The neshama has left this world. It's a time of reflection. The neshama is looking back. I lived in this lifetime, whatever I lived, whether a person lives a day, whether he lives 100 years. Every person who lives in this world has been a recipient of Hashem's kindness. And here, it's based, here, what we're doing is we're articulating for this neshama an expression of the neshama is saying, whatever I had in this world for these my lifetime, I didn't deserve. It was not your duty, Hashem, to give me in this world what you provided me. Whether you provide whatever I had, no matter what you what, every neshama was a recipient of chesed. The only reason why I receive these things is because of the giving cover to the chayim, the living people. It's because of people in the room here by the funeral. You're calling them, the people in the room, you're calling them tzaddikim, kidoshim. There are tzaddikim in this world, and in their merit, Hashem bestows blessing upon this world. And the neshama is saying, no, I was the recipient of that chesed. We live in a country, and the country provides security, provides there is electricity, there's water, there is food, there is an economy. What did you do to deserve it? Think about it just in a very practical sense. A person lives in the United States of America. Person comes into the person is born in this country, and there's streets, there's lights, there's a whole society. You built it. You sweat away to what do you do? I did nothing. I'm just a taker. I'm just a recipient of what people for generations have invested to produce a country, an environment, a society where I can derive benefits. I don't deserve anything over here. I come over here, a baby comes into this world, they wash him, they clean him, they put on nice clothing, they put him in a crib and it's warm, and they give him medicine and this and this. What did this kid do to deserve this? What did he do? He did nothing. He did nothing. Everything is done for him. So it's the same thing. When the neshama comes into this world and has received all of this benefit, does the person really deserve it? No. It's because of, I acknowledge, it's because of the tzaddik, the kidoshim, and the adirei, kol chefzi, all of the things that I want, that I had, it's born because of them. And here David is saying, neshama, I command you to make the statements. I give a command. David is separating himself from his neshama, which obviously means that the neshama is divided into many components, and one component is stepping back, the intellectual element of the neshama, and is saying to the rest of the neshama, make this acknowledgement, make this declaration regarding Hashem, regarding the master of the world, Hashem. Say to Hashem, you are my master. You are my master. I humble myself. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud doesn't just mean Hashem. It has a connotation of master. La Hashem, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei means God. Amat, I give a command. Neshama, declare to God. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. You, God, you are my master. I humble myself before you. I machriya myself. And I acknowledge, I confess, now that I left this world, I acknowledge everything that I had in this world is not because I deserve it. It's not your obligation to. It was not your duty to go bestow upon you all these kind things. Toivasi, all of the items that I've derived benefit, balalecha, you had and have absolutely zero obligation. It's only to why then did I derive benefit? It's because of all of you people. Because Lakidoi Shema Shabaretz Hema Va'adirei and the Yirei Shemayim, it's only because of them, Kol Cheftzi Kama, all of the things that I want, that I desire, my yearnings, my success, it's only because of Bam. Now, if you think about how beautiful this is, that by a Levaya, you say these psukim, and really, that's what you're doing over here, is you're giving incredible honor to the people who have assembled to pay their last respects. We're here today to give kovod acharon, right? To give the kovod acharon. You're really saying, you people in the room, in the chapel, you are the kedoshim, you're speaking for the niftar. You're speaking the niftar over here. You're basically, like, you know, they have by the goyim, and even by the very modern Orthodox. I don't know why it's not such a bad thing. Is they record videos? They record videos before they die, and they play. Have you ever do a vibe like that?
No.
We're
by the wake.
By the wake, they do that. But sometimes
they, video playing of a person's life and childhood. One that I went to, the name was 101, so it was very long
video. No, but sometimes, I don't know,
the
sometimes...
The person make their own husband?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The person, like say, it's not an ultimate, last world test, the Ramban, the Tzavo, Tzavo Sachayim. The old days, it's in the videos. Okay, so they wrote last world testament. Okay, we're not talking about the money. We're talking about the Yigedus Ramban. There are many Gedolei Yisrael, these are classics, art scroll. Making money off it.
I just went to a
shiva
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
The woman was very fashion woman, and the daughters read what she had written like about 5 years before.
Right.
When I die, this is going to be.
Yeah.
They were unbelievable. It wasn't a year before, it was a year.
Yes, that's the right thing. We come a certain point in time. Look, Yaakov Avinu, he says, when he gave the brachos to Yaakov, to Esav, he says, Lo yadati yoimosi. Why so radically? It was 5 years before, 5 years before Avraham died, 5 years before Sarah, Yitzchak. He gave the brachos. It was within 5 years. He didn't know how long he would live. He ended up living a lot longer. He ended up living until the age of 180. But 5 years before, I don't remember, I saw it was 127. So I guess 5 years before that, he says within 5 years, Rashi says within 5 years, a person should be worried that he's going to die. And therefore, now is the time for me to give over my last will and testament.
Funny college, she said, I'm leaving this and this picture to one of the daughters. So the daughter's sitting there, and she says, oh, she gave it to me.
So today, okay, today they have videos, so it's even better. Person takes out a what's the big deal? You take a phone, you go and take a video, and you give a message, and then the person does. You show the video. It can be very meaningful. You know, it can be very powerful. It would solve sometimes, it would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Who should succeed me? Who's the next Rebbe? Who should be the next Rebbe? Right? So it's not a foreign concept.
Find it out amongst yourselves.
And here, so here, obviously 99%, 99.999 do not do this. But at a funeral, when we read this mizmor, in essence, that's what we're doing. In essence, we're speaking on behalf of the niftar. The niftar, this is his way he's speaking. The niftar is saying, I want to make a declaration. And the declaration is, I want to acknowledge that God is my master. And I want to basically thank everyone here for coming. Really, so he's saying, because the people here who have come, you are Kedoshim, you're holy people. You are Yirei Shamayim, and it's only because of you I had a good life. It's only because of my friends and family, because you're good people, Yirei Shamayim, you brought down to this world blessing, and I was a recipient of that blessing. I didn't deserve. Toivasi Balolecha. Hashem, what you have given me, I didn't deserve. It's only because of the people here in the room who are the Kedoshim and the Adirim, it's only in their merit I was a recipient of chesed because of you in this world. You're speaking on behalf of the Mishnah. Okay, let's go further.
So when do you write these things? It looks like the end of his life or the beginning of his life.
It's not clear. There's only one. I'm not telling you there's one mahalach. There are other mahalach. They're very different mahalach. The mahalach has a whole different approach to this mizmah. But I don't know. David was a whole different world. David was very sick most of his life. David was on his deathbed. For most of his life, he was very, very sick. So obviously, he composed this, anticipating, I'm soon going to leave.
Wasn't he a warrior who fought many times?
He was a warrior. He was everything. David did everything. But David had every experience a human being can have, David had. Every, you name it, he had. Every type of experience he had, and somehow in the Tehillim, you will find, if you dig deep enough, you will find the Mizmar that is captures a life experience that every person can relate to. Not everyone has a full life experience, but every type of life experience David had, and he expressed it in words that are timely, that are eternal, and that's what we have. Was this mizmor composed at the very end of his life, or was it composed towards during some illness in the beginning? We don't know. That's a big mystery. You'll say the order. It's not in chronological order. Tehillim. I don't think most would say it's in chronological order. It's a very hard stretch. You're gonna have to really, really do some heavy duty gymnastics. Intellectual gymnastics to try to go and stitch together the 150 mizmorim in chronological order. It's very unlikely. For whatever reason, there are certain messages, there are timely messages that are chaviv to David, and he put them in different parts of Tehillim. Part of the chachma of Tehillim is the same. It's not just the compositions. There's infinite chachma in the proper seder of how all of the mizmorim are arranged. Okay. Let's now go further, which is also the Bistum and Mitzvahs. It's good to get to the Mizmar in a very basic approach, and then we'll come back and discuss the Rashi and the other selected ideas. Okay, we pass the Dalit Yirbu. Now here he switches to the Rishon. It's a little interesting. You find it very, very often in Tehillim. There's always this contrast. You know, you talk about, the good, the tzaddik, thank you. But all of a sudden, you go to war. We go to war, the Rishon. It's a little disturbing. And you have this all over the place. Even the Haggadah. Haggadah, tell me, what would be so bad? You have to have Shvoi Chamas al Agoyim? What would have been if Chazal did not put into the Haggadah the little kina? It's called the kina. Shvoi Chamas al Agoyim asher lo yodata, al shimcho lo karasa, whatever it says, I don't remember, whatever the words are. It's a violent section of the Haggadah. It's called the Kina. Chazal call that part of the Haggadah Kinois. This is the Haggadah. And in the Haggadah we say Kinois, like Tisha B'Av. We should really sit down on the floor, take off our shoes, and we're saying, Shifoi Chamos Chalagoy Meshalo Yedata. Instead, we go out of the house. Maybe that's why you don't want to share the simcha in the house. The house is a makom of simcha. So it's a base simcha. You can't go say kinois in the base simcha. You have to go out of the house, go out into the street to say kitz. Mamash called a kina. Look, on Tisha B'Av, we sing zemiros. B'tzeisi in the Mitzrayim. See, that there's intermingling of when we say the kinois, all of a sudden we start saying a shirois v'sishpachos. B'tzeisi in the Mitzrayim. That's not a kina. I mean, it's intermingled. You know, every you alternate, but half of the words there are shiras. It belongs in Pesach Seder. What we should do is we should take the kina of Bitzesim and Mitzrayim, Bitzesim and Yerushalayim. We should divide it into two, and we should say the good stuff on Pesach and say the sad part on Tisha B'Av. Yet it's intermingled. Obviously, there's something about balance. There's something about contrast. The contrast, for some reason, is extremely important. It brings out the Yisoydos. And here, David is shifting to a very violent, very, very, very different outlook on life. Yirbu atzvoisam, acher mohoru. It's a hard expression. When we translate it to mean as follows. Atzvoisam means sadness. David now is begging Hashem that the wicked should have an abundance of sadness. Which wicked people are we discussing? A specific type of person. Acher means lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim. Foreign gods. Mohoru, people that are in a rush. People who are in a rush to worship Elohim acherim. Like this week's parasha, Parashas Kisisa, the Egel Hazav. How long did he delay for? A few minutes. They couldn't wait already. It was 6 hours into the day. They couldn't wait another few minutes. We'll give Moshe Rabbeinu the benefit of the doubt and wait another day. No, they couldn't wait. They were in a rush. They were in a rush to make an egel, which is called Elohim Acherim, other gods. So Dodo here is cursing these people, he's saying them, Yirbu Atzvoisam, may these people, may they have an abundance of sadness. Those people, and Avodah Zorah is called, it's called sadness. Atzabehem, they're objects of sadness. Atzabehem means it's a borrowed term. Atzabehem means an idol. Why is an idol called an idol? Milashon of Etzef, sadness. The Etzef tel dibonim. With sadness, with tsar. Why? Because people who believe in idols, the end is they are sad. They are very disappointed. They are severely disappointed when they believe and they pray and they worship and they give of their time and money and invest their life in an idol, in a foreign god, and then they realize they've been fooled. They're idiots. What have they done? So the word etzem is sadness, and here he's coming to curse them. May the sadness be increased to those people who acher, idols, Mohoru, we're going to translate the word right now for the moment, swift. The people who are very swift to believe and to bow and to worship idols. Bal asich niskehem midom. I will not pour out their libations midom more than blood. We have to look in a precise translation of what he's touching upon is a very deep, this is a very lot of depth over here. In these words, and what he's alluding to is a carbon. Well, every single carbon is accompanied by what's called minchas nesachim. Every single animal sacrifice is accompanied by a meal offering and wine libations. We say minchasam v'niskem kimdubar. Every, depending if it's a par, you bring more bread. If it's an ayil, it's a keves. And likewise, the amount of yayin. And what do you with the yayin? You pour the yayin on the mizbeach. So the result is there are two things that are poured on the mizbeach as a liquid. Blood and wine. And there is a correlation. Over here, this is a very interesting story. In the first one, there's a correlation between how much wine you pour. You cannot pour, it seems, you cannot pour more wine than blood. By goyim, it's just by goyim. By goyim, they don't do that. By goyim, part of their ideology is to pour more wine than blood. There's something about yayin. Okay, we have to go ask an expert in religion what this all about, this concept. And we hear, he say we're Baal Asich Mischa Midam, we're Baal Esa Es Shemoyesam Al Sifo Soy. David is saying, I will not pour yayin, more wine than blood, and I will not even mention the names of their gods on my lips. Now let's see what this means of the many, again, the many pollution. Let's just for a moment see the Mesidus David. Mesidus David says, Pasuk Dalet on page 123, Achem Moharu, return the Lamar, Avil, Hodashoim, Hamarbin, Mohar. He's learning the word Mohar means a gift. I told you, maybe what Rashi says, we're not, let's forget what I said. What I said, we'll see it later. He learns what Mar means a gift. Mohar lahakriv zvachim l'elacher, yirbu atzvoisam al yodecha. I'm asking you, Hashem, that they should have sadness. Ki tir defame, you shall pursue them. Lahatziv libam, to cause their heart sadness. V'lo tikani lohem, do not be humble. Do not tikani lohem, do not submit to them. Bal asich loy ezrek dom la avoid the zarakim moyhem. I will not pour blood to idols like them. The af loy eskar shemam bisfosai. He's saying a very simple interpretation. I think I was saying probably from someone else. Listen, one more time. Yirbu atzvoy sam. David is being mispal. Hashem caused them to suffer. Acher mohar. Those people who offer gifts to an acher. Okay, so he learns what acher means, an idol. An idol. Le'el acher is an idol. And mohoru, it's a sophisticated form of the word, of mohar. Mohar means a gift. Those people who offer gifts to gods. David says, Bal asich niskehem, I will not, he's saying about himself, I will not pour blood like them. Bal asich niskehem midam. Now here, the niskehem means the pouring. Asich means the pouring. Niskehem midam, a pouring of blood. I'm confusing you because I'm just thinking about some of the other commentaries who learned the word asich means yayin. That's not what the Mitzvah Stavit says. He learns here there is no mention of wine whatsoever. We're only discussing blood. And there is a Niskehem Midam, a pouring of blood. I will not participate in this activity of taking blood of a sacrifice of an idol and pour it before the idol.
He's translating Niskehem as a Zurika.
A pouring.
Yeah.
Of what kind of pouring? A pouring of blood. So there are two words which are repetition. It's poetic repetition. It's an expression, play on the word. Bal asich, I will not pour niskehem midam. A pouring of blood. Okay, it's a sophisticated, the words are very hard to translate. The grammar of the words is very hard to translate. But on a very, very simple level, that's how he says. I will not participate in pouring a zrika sadam, in engaging in the activity of zrika sadam to an avodah zarah, and I'll not ever dare mention the name of this god. This god will not be mentioned among them. I don't even know what their names. I'll not mention the name of an avodah zarah. So what are the chidushim of the according to Zavid? The chidushim are, number one, the word atzvaisa means sadness. The word moharu means a gift. The words asich niske means zrika, a pouring of blood. So to translate the pasuk in its entirety, it means, Yirbu, I'm cursing the wicked, Yirbu atzvaisam, may their suffering, may their sadness increase. Who? Those acher mohoru, those wicked people who offer gifts to an acher, to an el acher, and bal asich niskeya midam, I myself would never ever participate in such a activity of slaughtering an animal in honor of a god and pouring its blood before the idol, and I won't even mention their names. Ubal Esso Es Shemoisam, I will not mention their names al Sifosai. Okay, that's how we're going to learn now, according to the Mitzudas. So we'll go back and do this again. You'll see there's some very other different interpretations which are very, very interesting. Pasuk Hey, David now returns to what he mentioned before. Hashem, you are Minos Chelki. You are my portion. And these two words really mean the same thing. Minos is a portion, Chelki is a portion. So there's a play on the Israel, there's like this point of repetition. The same way we had Asich Niskehem, where we had the word Minos Chelki, you are my portion. The Kaisi Ata, same thing, you are my cup. Kaisi here means, there are many Perushim which we'll see, but right now we're going to just, and Toimich, you support Goyroli, my portion. There are three words here that mean the same thing. A chelek, a kois, and a goyrol. And for the sake of simplicity, they all mean the same thing until we see the depth of what these words mean in other commentaries. Let's see what Mitzvah says David. Pasuk Hey, Hash.
Should not accept their.
I hear what you say. I know.
But he said because whatever they did, makrivim korbanot, it's midam they shafu dam, and then they makrivim korbanot dam amiim or something, and then they makrivim korbanot. Please don't accept not the korbanot and not the.
Don't accept the korbanot. I know, but the word baal.
Everything comes from sorrow.
But the word asich, the word the aleph asich, and the word. Baal Esau, the simple translation is I. So
usually.
So here you want to interpret it like a Goloshin Sagi Nar, that don't accept. It means all of these things. Don't accept, I mean, don't, it should not exist in this world. Do not allow a world with such wicked people to mislead people to follow in ways that are sheker. And he's saying it about himself. Listen, every person deep down in himself has a little. We're here for that purpose, to cleanse ourselves from the influence that we have. All right, here we go. Let's see the mitzvahs. Hashem nas chalki. Hu hamono hanitan lechalki. Hashem is my portion. Return lemar bo ani mamen. I believe in Hashem. The koisi. Hu hamono hanitan mesech koisi. My cup. It's just an expression according to the mitzvahs David. My portion, the kafal hadavar b'miloy shoynes, he says it explicitly, it's poetic repetition. Toimich, tomachta b'yodi, you supported my hand. You lifted up my hand, lahanicha al hagar lahu, on this portion. Ritzon Eloimar, oirarta libi, you have aroused my heart, lahamin b'cho, to believe in you. V'yame b'mashal k'derecha av ha-toimich yad b'noy, a father, he picks up his child's hand. Hechavivloi umanicha, and he puts it down al chelik hayofel loymar, to say ezeh beror lucha. Okay, we'll see the medrash, we'll see other mefarshim. Let's say, for example, you have a father is sitting at the table, and there is steak, good delicious piece of steak, and then there is chicken's not so bad. Think of something. Then there's some lettuce, and there's a child. And the child now is first coming of age to understand, you know, in life, you know, you make choices. And for the very first time in his life, he sees on the table, he appreciates on the table, there's a piece of steak and there's a piece of lettuce. And the child doesn't know the difference. So the father picks up the child's hands and says, look, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. What do you want to eat? Do you want to eat the lettuce or do you want to eat the steak? Let me teach you. Take the steak. Steak is good. It's delicious. The lettuce is also good, but take the steak. Es achayim v'es hamoves nosati lefanecha uvocharta b'chayim. Hashem has taught us what is good. Hashem presents us, and He doesn't just allow us to figure it out on our own. Hashem has done kindness where He picks up our hand and He puts it down. We'll see the message at some point. That's when that toimich means to support, to guide, to lift up. Here we are, we're like children, and we do not know how to live our lives. Hashem says, let me tell you how to live your life. You want a good life? es achayim v'es hamoves nasati lefonecha ubocharto b'achayim. I'm telling you, this is good. Don't choose to go down this path. It's not going to come out good. The whole Torah is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has presented a type of life that will result in success. Ubacharto b'achayim. And the neshama here is saying, Hashem, if you want to learn this, a continuation of the neshama, it's saying that Hashem, it's not taking credit for its accomplishments. The neshama over here is humbling itself, especially if you learn that this mizmor is being said at the time of Petira, at the time of death. The neshama here is humbling itself and is saying, again, we are speaking on behalf of the neshama. We're trying to help the neshama. And the best zuchus the neshama can have is to humble itself. To humble itself and say, everything that I had in life, it's not because of my success. You did it all, Hashem. Even the Torah and the mitzvahs, it's because atah you, Hashem, toimich goyroli, you inspired me, and you took me by the hand, and you told me to do this, you told me to do this. I'm not taking any credit. When a person begins to take credit for himself, that's when all the problems begin. The goal is always to be humble. Don't look for credit. Yehalolcha zor v'loy picha. Let someone else sing your praises. You don't sing your own praises. You sing your own praises, you're looking, it never comes out well. Person has to have, when he toots his own horn, it doesn't end up well. And that's exactly here what the Mishnah over here is doing. The Mishnah over here is saying is, Hashem inos chelki, you are my portion, v'koy siyata. Not only that, Taimich Garoli, you have guided me on the path of my life, and therefore, that's what I have. Listen one more pasuk. Listen another 2 minutes. Chavalim nafli baniinim af nachalas shofar olam. Beautiful pasuk, especially for the neshama to say after the neshama leaves its body. I had a wonderful life. A chaval is really, it's a fourth word. A whole collection of words over here. We have over here the word chelek, the word kais, the word agoyol. And now we have a chavolim, a chevel. Chevel is a rope. What is a rope? In ancient times, when a person inherited land, so the land was marked off by ropes. The measurements of the land were specified. It's three ropes this way, two ropes that way. A chevel is just another term for a portion. Have fallen to me by ne'imim with pleasantness. The neshama here is saying, I have no complaints. Af nachalos, inheritance. A fifth word to show a person's portion in this world. Shafra aloy was beautiful. The word shafra is like pua and shifra. Why was she called shifra? Shemifaferes es havlad. She beautified the child. Shofar. Shifru ma'aseichem. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar. Why the shofar? Why is it called the shofar? It's a reminder. Beautify your ways. Do teshuva, and your deeds should be beautiful. It's beautiful to me. Here we have two praises. It's no'im, it's pleasant, and it is beautiful. And another two words, a chevel and a nachala. The neshama here, you're saying very beautiful praises of Hashem. Let's see the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David here, Pasuk Vav, chavolim, ha-mechoizois means portions. Okay, that's a good word for chavolim. It means an area of land, a section of land. Why is it called Al Shem Ki? Look at the Mitzudas Siyon. Why is the word chavolim Kein Yikru ha-mechoizois v'chein mechevel b'nei Yehuda Al Shem Ki b'chevel yichulak nachala? Land was divided by ropes. There's 50 ropes, 20 ropes, 10 ropes. It was a standard size to a rope, like 50 amas. I think the standard size of a rope was 50 amas. A half a rope, a quarter of a rope, 5 ropes. Just like that we have acres, we have feet, we have meters, kilometers, miles. In ancient times, the term used to specify the portion of land was called a chevel. Okay, back to the Mrs. David. They are beautiful. Hashem that I have chosen is one of a kind. He is the kelam yichud Hashem ulchin Hashem echad af nachlas hanachlas shabacharti yofi he beinai v'chafal hadava b'milu. This is just quoting repetition. Let's see another part. What's the design? Avarech es Hashem asher yi'otzani. I praise Hashem who has counseled me. Af leilois yisruni chilyosai. The evenings I have been chastised by my kidneys. What does all this mean? This is David. Avarech Hashem. This is David. Asher yi'otzani. Bavur shi'otz. I see lekablo lelokai. I praise Hashem, it is Hashem who has inspired me to go in His ways. Af leilois. Now, kasher hu yoatz oisi kein. And what does it mean over here, leilois? Af leilois, kasher hu yoatz oisi kein. And leilois, does it mean night or mean something else? Let's go further. Af kil yosai. Miyasrois v'yoatzois osi al ze ba'leilois, at night. Night is when it's quiet and peaceful and a person can contemplate what his path in life should be. She eis asher halev panui mimachashava hatoy redes. So what we are saying is that when I was dark at night and I had peace of mind and I can think, then yisruni chilios, the kidneys are the part of the body that Chazal always tell us provide counsel. The kidneys are yoyatzos.
How do the kidneys work?
This is very well documented, and you can Google it. And there are books about this. It's people who have received kidney transplants. All of a sudden, they think differently, have different interests, have different hobbies.
That's because the life has been renewed.
No, it's much more than that. They've done so many things, the donor, if the donor likes chocolate, all of a sudden the recipient likes chocolate. I would vomit when I had chocolate.
Is this universally found?
I believe so. Heart transplants even more. I think heart even more. But kidneys, obviously, there's something we don't know. Science doesn't know everything. We think that the science, they don't know. There is. What does that mean to give you? Kidneys, they cleanse.
The kidneys separate the good from the bad and cleanse out. That's Eitzer. That's figuring out what's good and what's bad.
You see, we're going back to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is Yesoid.
Physically, maybe, but emotionally, maybe.
No, but it's a metaphor for that.
The Chazon
Ish. That Eitzer, the kidneys are what can be Eitzer.
The Chazon Ish is a very big believer in a person naturally would be a very big tzaddik, would rise to the greatest heights. Most of the problems that civilization faces is because of distractions. And if a person would just remove the distractions, he would it's natural to become great. A lot of people don't look at it like that. A lot of people today say that's not true. A person naturally would never become great. He needs inspiration. You need to go and listen to the inspirational speakers on Torah anytime. OUYOTorah.org. You got to listen to the inspirational speakers to elevate you. Okay, yeshvish. The Chazon Ish, many Gedolei Yisrael, they strongly disagree. They are of the opinion that a person naturally would elevate himself to great, great heights. Distractions. So what is the primary goal? Remove the distractions. Or know which distractions are dangerous. It's a chokhmah. And it goes so far, that's what a parent should pray. A parent should not pray that my child should be the Gadol Hadar. A parent should pray, Hashem, please remove from my child the dangerous distractions. B'hashkocha pratis, it should work out that he doesn't meet up with this friend. This friend will influence him. He should not discover that there is a certain video game, because he'll end up spending whole day. He should not discover this certain type of activity which is going to lead him down the wrong way. If only he would not be distracted with things which are harmful. And every person is different. Some people, it's not a distraction. Some people, it's a positive experience. Every person has situations that distract him for his harm. And the kidneys, what do the kidneys do? I don't know what the kidneys do in the midst of, but one thing they do, we do know what they do, they cleanse the blood. There are things, there are impurities that are no good. And these are distractions to the body. If these things are going to be floating around the body is going to be busy with stuff that's no good. And we don't, the body doesn't need it. The body doesn't need it. It's a distraction. It weighs down the body. It sends the body down a bad path, down a dangerous path in living. So what do the kidneys do? Get rid of the garbage. Get rid of the distractions. And then there's a purity in the body. So when you take that...
You went into your body is something good.
What?
Went into your body is something good. It was food. It was something went.
That's life. It's fun. That's right.
And then it took,
that's right. It went in as something good. It went in as something good. Absolutely.
Under the guise of good.
Under the guise of good. It was necessary. Even if it was not good, it was a necessary evil. Even if it was not good, it had to be there because the food needs certain things. And this is the way the world is. You have to have. There's good and there's bad. But what do the kidneys do? It removes, in essence, the distractions. It's a muscle. It's a muscle. The kidneys are, forget about, you want to go tell me, then maybe you'll say that, no, scientifically, the kidneys have a brain. There's some type of brain in the kidneys that are functioning and they're sending messages through the blood and the veins to the brain. Who knows? Maybe one day they'll tell you such a thing is true. Maybe we learned in the beginning of the year, there are five components to the neshama. There's an element in the brain, element of the neshama in the heart. Maybe there's another element of the neshama that's in the kidneys. And they all communicate with one another. We don't know how all this works. Or you want to say it's something physical? There's some type of element in the kidneys which we cannot measure today, which is acting like the brain and is giving advice? I have no idea. But Chazal make it clear as day that the kidneys of a human being provide counsel. And if we want to completely ignore anything supernatural or anything physical and just focus on the most elementary basic approach to understand this, it's very easy. The kidneys remove impurities. The kidneys are the ultimate service of removing distractions. And in life, we all know good and well, many of our problems is because we're distracted. And it's very, very hard to remove these distractions. And if only we would not have these distractions, like people say, it's a very interesting thing. I heard this from a lot of people. Years ago, and I know by myself, it's so, so true. Years ago, you wake up in the morning. What are you doing to wake up in the morning? It's a no-brainer. You wake up in the morning. Okay, sometimes you wake up faster, a little slower, later, earlier. You wash your hands. You get dressed. You shower. You don't take a shower. You take a shower night before, whatever you... And you go to shul. That's it. Go to shul. Today, probably 95% of the people who wake up, what do they do? What do they do before they wash their hands? What do they do? They pick this up, and they imagine that someone in the middle of the night, Cholam Zach, in the middle of the night, sent them the most important text or email. Right? Checking to see who knows what. Checking to see if the world came to an end overnight. Really, in the middle of the night, what happened so important? And that's what they do this. They do this for it. And before you turn around, you end up spending on your phone 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Oh, you already missed the first minion. Go to a different shul, different minion. This is not a joke. Years ago, it wasn't the same. And I think it's a bad thing. I know a woman, a very chashu woman. There's no yom to this woman. And she says to me, she identifies as from the modern Orthodox. Okay? She identifies, and she said to me, never in my, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I daven. I never had a distraction, do anything else but daven. But now, I find myself, I can't control myself. I wake up in the morning, emails. I work, she has a very important job. First thing, before I wake up, the first thing is I gotta check my emails. And then I go daven. And she says it bothers her so much. And this is not, that's not about the Rosh Hashiva here. You're talking about a woman who, is part of the very modern Orthodox world. And she's it's terrible. It's really terrible what's become of me.
She's so smart and so capable, she
should
control herself. What's the point?
Yeah, easier said than done. Well, easier said than done.
Turns on to 10
women, so it's so true. It's a whole different. The distraction is what really destroys us. These are all very good things, But akol osa yofe beitoy. Everything is yofe, beautiful in its right time and place. And the kidneys, what do kidneys do? They cleanse the blood. They remove the impurities, the psoilus. The psoilus is a distraction. And we learn mussar from the kidneys. The just the kidneys itself is the counsel. Focus on what's important, remove the distractions, and everything will, your life will be completely different. And that's what he says over here, Avarech et Hashem asher you, Hashem, you have inspired me. He's saying over the positive and the negative, Hashem, you're my inspirational speaker. You're my inspiration to lift me up. But also, David says, I also, when it's evening, when it's night, my kidneys remind me to cut out the garbage, to remove the distractions from life. Because that itself will be for me an uplifting experience after Leilois, in the middle of the night, when it's quiet and it's calm, and I'm able to think clearly, I'm able to reflect upon the day and realize how much time I waste on Narishkeit. And this wasted time, it's not just wasted time, it's pulling me away from things that are really important. Yisruni chilyoisoi. My kidneys are chastising me. Cut out the garbage. The same way I work for you the whole day to clean out the impurities in your blood, you should work during the day to cut out the distractions and the things that are not important in life. Okay, everybody, so we're gonna stop over here.
He gave me seichel, af al pi, that I have so many
children. So how many people showed up?
Wait, we have a question here. Wait a second.
Oh,
so
sorry.
Many why don't come?
Yeah.
I have so many problems.
Yeah.
I cannot sleep. In the middle of the night,
that's a different approach, right? All my mistakes.
Because the Uncle said,